it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres social abuzz today with numerical changes for Zach Benson and Josh Norris. So dig in on that. We will have birthdays a little later, not just limited to Sabres, but the greatest Bandit slash lacrosse player and arguably coach now of all time. John Tavares is celebrating. We'll get into that a little bit later, too. There's another John Tavares. He's on the Maple Leafs, and he's back at a very discounted deal for the next 4 years. So while Mitch Marner has moved on from the Maple Leafs, who are the team of the day, the Leafs still look very similar. They have, and will, quite frankly, based on contracts here, still a lot of years left, you know, for significant players on this team and in pretty much all positions. I mean, Joe Wall's got three in the crease, and we expect a Stolarz extension soon, so I would certainly bet on that tandem being together for at least the next 3 years. But what are the Maple Leafs? What is the question that you ask yourself the most, that you discuss with others when it comes to the Maple Leafs moving forward?
Well, I mean, obviously the loss of Mitch Marner, what does that do to the Maple Leafs? I think Mitch Marner was a bit of a whipping boy for the fan base in Toronto, the lack of playoff success that the Leafs have had. But you look at his numbers in the regular season and even in the playoffs, he was almost a point a game last year in the playoffs. Willie Nylander was a little bit better, a little over a point a game, but I feel like that was a little bit unfair to blame Mitch Marner for the playoffs lack of success that the teams had. But now, okay, so what are you, Leafs, without Mitch Marner? They still have Matthews and Nylander. I mean, I would be very surprised if Tavares goes off with another year like he did last year. Like, there's going to be a little bit more on his plate. It's going to be more physically demanding. And he could, because he's that talented. But so to me, it comes down to one thing, Matthew Nyes. Can Matthew Nyes elevate the game to not be Mitch Marner? You're not looking for 102 points, but there's a physical aspect, a power forward side of Matthew Nyes, but there needs to be a production. He's going to be, you know, with Matthews, top line. There has to be a production there. So I think it kind of shifts from, well, Marner, you know, Matthews and Nylander were somehow always like protected. But now is, can Matthew Nyes come in and fill somewhat some of the shoes of Mitch Marner?
Maybe you and I read and hear things differently.
Okay.
I don't think Marner was the only guy getting a beating. I think Matthews gets it relentlessly too.
Maybe it's because Marner is a Toronto kid. He's more like Matthews, kind of like he just answers
the
question
and
checks out. Yeah, but he also, like when I watched Marner, he had an emotional side to him, his face, his facial expression, his quotes. And I feel like it took a lot more toll on Marner. Maybe that's why it was more significant that way.
Everything you're saying is true, which is why it validates what I'm saying. I think Matthews' reactions, or lack thereof, is what creates the same type of effect among the fan base, does it not?
It probably is. I mean, we live in a world where people make assumptions. They judge everything from social media to your post-game, you know, like words, or they use a certain tone. And then we do the same thing. That's part of why these guys go through training and everything. But I do feel that as the captain, Auston Matthews at times, John Tavares always had the Maple Leaf in his heart and on his shoulders. And when he spoke as the captain, there was always a lot of compassion and passion for what they're doing. I don't feel like Matthews is the same way, but maybe that's what they need. Maybe it is a captain that says, screw this. Who cares what the world is thinking? Who cares what the media is saying? Don't turn it on. Don't look at your phones. Like, play your game. I'm a superstar. I hang out with Justin Bieber or whatever. Like, that's maybe that's what they need in the locker room to get, you know, buy in the playoffs, you know, and have success.
They've added Dakota Joshua, Nick Waugh, Matias Michelli.
Yep.
They could have a significant infusion from Easton Cowan if he makes it.
Yeah.
They have, I think, a lot of similar players beyond their top seven forwards. So, like, I think Cowan's got a really good chance of making this. They just have a lot of guys that are, you know, kind of close to being like the 13th forward. So I think if the kids, you know, like a Cowan, take advantage of an opportunity here, that could absolutely chip away at what people are looking at and a potential loss in offense in Marner. Like, yeah, he's the leading scorer. We get it. But yeah. You mentioned Knies. Knies is already a 29 goal scorer in year two. Like, I think he's going to be 40 next year. I don't even hesitate in throwing that out there. And the rest of it will all be.
I mean, if he has 40 and Matthews gets back to 50, that line will have maybe 100 goals as a line, right? I mean, that's a lot of goals.
Yep. I would think there's no reason not, in my opinion, not to think that that would happen. So will they win the division, the conference, advance to the Stanley Cup final?
Well, who would beat them in the division? Florida, you know, they re-signed Bennett and they got Marchand and Tkachuk. And I feel like Florida, despite the fact that they won two in a row, went to three Stanley Cup, I think that this is not going to be a year where we just want to make the playoffs. I think they want to say we are the best. We're not just the best in the playoffs. We're the best in the regular season. So I think Florida is probably going to be number one in the division. I think Toronto is number two. You mentioned Easton Cowan. When the Leafs signed and traded Marner, they kind of had – Vegas had to in some way because there was some words that, hey, there's some colluding that's happening. And, you know, like the Leafs, instead of yelling it from the top of the buildings, they basically said to Vegas, we'll do a sign and trade, and then we'll take Nick Waugh. But when they traded Marner away, which he was going to be a UFA anyway, everybody in Toronto, media, fans, people in the organization thought, well, that's a perfect fit for Easton Cowan to come in and be given an opportunity playing top six. Like, that kid is not going to come in and play fourth line. Like, it's not good for him, but there's a hole there. Who's going to fit? Like, Matias Michelli is going to play top line right winger? Like that's a – could be, but I think there's a really good opportunity to say, hey, can you put Easton Cowan there?
If either of those two – proved to be top six worthy, the Maple Leafs' depth then looks pretty, pretty daunting.
I don't like Domi in the top six. Like, Max Domi,
right? That's what I'm saying. He doesn't need to be there.
But right now he's penciled in there. But he does, like, if he can drop to a third line and just, you know, do his thing, like, he's still a good player, but he's not a top six guy. I can't trust Max Domi to be a top six guy. But if you're right, if Michelli plays well and if Easton Cowan is there, maybe you're right. Maybe the Leafs are the top team again in the Atlantic and potentially in the Eastern Conference.
Are they making it to the finals?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. You had two choices. Oh.
and we are in Buffalo. It's like, do you want ranch or blue cheese with your wings that you had at Barbie last night? It's always going to be blue cheese in Buffalo. It's always no. The Leafs will not make it to the final.
I think it's inevitable. It's a matter of time with this group, even without Marner. And so, yeah, I will say they will make it to the final. So, not that you asked, but
I'll take it a step further. Would you see Toronto-Vegas in the final, this Mitch Marner battle happening?
Yeah. I mean, you're not giving Dallas an awful lot of credit.
I want to. I think I would have liked Dallas.
If Pete DeBoer was there, you would have said
more
they're getting
if
to
Pete
the final
DeBoer was still there. Yes, exactly. If he didn't mess up the Jake Oettinger thing in the playoffs last year and postseason, I would be feeling more confident about the Dallas Stars.
Isn't it funny, though, how you just kind of throw that in there? And we'll get to Vegas as our a team of the day next week. But you can casually just say, yeah, like I could see them playing Vegas in the final. But like Edmonton,
Colorado.
Again, Colorado, Winnipeg, like holy cow, man. Like there's some elite, elite, elite. And yet, going back to the start of the show, I mean, here we are talking about Toronto and team of the day and just the reality of how daunting this division is. And that brings it right back to Sabres Live, because that's the challenge here. And last year, and we've talked about it recently because we've done Florida and Tampa already as teams of the day, they went 0-3 against the Leafs last year. Mm-hmm. It wasn't good. These are elements within the 82 game for the final time framework of a regular season that they have to be better. And historically, they've only had a couple of real clunker seasons like this against the Maple Leafs. Usually they're way more competitive and often on the winning side of it. But last year was not a good year for them against the Leafs.
It wasn't a good year. You go back to, the Heritage Classic when the Sabres went into Hamilton and beat the Leafs.
Go to any era. It all started with Punch Imlach leaving from the Leafs and starting the Sabres. Like, I mean, they just loved beating Toronto.
Yeah, Rob Ray goal in the conference finals between the legs through Cujo, like it was, there was a lot going. No, that was it Cujo then?
Yeah. Yep. You had it right.
Because Belfour was in Dallas. So there was a lot of success. But there was almost 30 points. The Sabres had 79 and the Leafs had 108. There was almost 30 points between the two teams. Like that's what a top team in the division and in the conference gets. Mm-hmm. And that's what a team that's still looking to find where they fit in the division and conference get. Can you make that 15? Okay, if the Leafs are 105 and the Sabres are 90, is that good enough? No, because I don't think 90 is going to get into the playoffs. So it's almost like you got to make that 10. Mm-hmm. You got to make that 8, go from almost 30 points difference to a 10 points difference for the Sabres to say we are keeping up with the top teams.
Buffalo and Toronto play four times this year at KeyBank October 24th and March 14th. They'll be in Toronto October 25th and January the 27th. We're heavy on birthdays on this day, so we're going to dive into those when we come back on Sabres Live.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.